My name is Lisa Nicole, singer, songwriter, creator, realtor, lover of my cats and hiking, and well, I couldn't be here without coffee, and I'm your host of the Wild Hearts Podcast. Season 2 brings deep, heartfelt stories, inspiration, and education from guests based here in BC. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you kindly for listening. Now let's get to the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to season 2 of the podcast. Today we are chatting with my friend, also happens to be my massage therapist, Cassandra Schwabenbauer. Not only is Cassandra an amazing massage therapist who loves holistic therapy, she has also become very open on TikTok about her life with borderline personality disorder, a toxic relationship, PTSD from her adult life, and how all of this has taken a toll on her mental health. I think it's amazing she's making people aware of these mental health hardships. And she's also a badass hula hooper, a dancer, spin instructor, certified yoga instructor, and a cat and dog mom. Holy! We're gonna call her Cass in this convo today, so without further ado, welcome!
Hi, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. Yay. I'm super excited.
I'm so excited to chat with you today. You are an amazing human. It's been so wonderful getting to know you over the last couple of years. I feel like half the time during our massages, we just like chat each other's ears off.
It's pretty fun. I really enjoy it.
Me too. Let's start with the fact that you joined TikTok last year. Was it last year?
Yeah, I joined it pretty much as the pandemic started, like most people did, yeah. Right? Like at the end of March, and mostly just watching it. And then when I really wanted to start saving videos that I thought were hilarious, I was like, okay, I guess I got to start an account. And the dancer in me kind of came out and I started doing little dances. And then I just kind of like really fell into it because it really helped me come out of my shell in a lot of ways too, which was really nice.
Yeah. And you really actually blew up on it. And I think it's because you were really speaking your truth and you're hilarious over there. And then so deep all at the same time. It takes so much work to keep up with the TikTok content, as like I know myself, I'm not very good at it. And you just never know what's going to hit, really.
Yeah, sometimes you can make a video and think that you did such a great job and that everyone's gonna love it, and then you'll get like 75 likes and you're like,
dang,
at least I love it.
Yeah, at least I like it.
And then the most random video will all of a sudden just get a million views and a crap ton of likes, and it's like, all right, I guess I'm here for it, let's do it.
You never know.
No idea. Yeah. I have no idea how the algorithm works. It's it still gets me to this day.
You're just putting stuff out there
always.
So you did have a few things that really blew up for you. You have over 1.5 million likes on TikTok. I feel like you kind of started off, like you said, with dancing and self-worth posts, but then I noticed you had blown up mostly recently with your talk about BPD, but also your last toxic relationship you were in, your PTSD, and even a few of your cat and dog posts. But which one blew up that you were like, what? Like, really?
Well, definitely the cat and dog posts were probably the most out there that went viral, because I thought that it was just a really silly trend. And I don't know what I was thinking that my dog was small enough to fit in my pants, but it turned out really hilarious. And I think my favorite of the two would be the cat in my pants, because she's fighting off the dog.
Yes.
Even though they have a great relationship, it's so funny.
I know. When I saw that, I think I messaged you and I was like, I might have to do this, but I never did.
Well, you still can.
I could. You have BPD, which is borderline personality disorder. A lot of people might hear that and be curious to know what it really is. And in one of your TikToks, you say, I have completely mirrored exactly who you are, so that you'll like me. And I read in your comments somewhere you said, my ex would tell me I treated him terrible, and you're all, I'm sorry, I think I learned this from you. Why don't you dig in a bit deeper? Tell us what BPD is, about your BPD, and when did you realize you had it or was diagnosed with it, and how you cope with it?
This is a pretty deep, complex, kind of loaded answer.
Right.
It's a very complex personality disorder.
Yeah.
I'll try and like stay on the lighter end, and I don't want to sound too textbook version of it.
No.
But I will still take a little bit of textbook definition, because it does help a lot. Mm-hmm. Although I've learned way more on TikTok about BPD than I ever did in therapy, which is really cool, because it's just been a lot of people sharing their experiences and learning through that. BPD stems from a lot of childhood trauma, such as emotional neglect, emotional abuse, physical abuse, and so on like that, sexual abuse as well. It's basically like having no emotional skin. and no sense of identity because we don't know who we are because we've had to act a certain way to appease those in our lives that are supposed to care about us and love us unconditionally. So the fear of abandonment and lack of sense of identity stems from being let down, hurt, neglected, or abused by our caregivers or those who were supposed to love us unconditionally in our developing years. So we've had to build a fortress of protection around ourselves at a young age and kind of become the people that we thought those around us wanted to be so that we could avoid conflict or finally achieve the love that we were so desperately trying to receive from them.
Right.
Yeah, it's quite interesting how your childhood really like affects your adult life. And once you dive into it, it's a really interesting world, in my opinion.
Yeah.
With BPD, we feel everything, and I mean absolutely everything, to the fullest. And we tend to be very intuitive and pick up on feelings and emotions or changes in feelings and emotions very easily, especially with those that are close to us.
Right.
Which can lead to making relationships very tumultuous when we're constantly
communicating
about things that we're perceiving. It can be very intense and some people can take it as annoying.
Because you can really feel what they're feeling.
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes it can bring up that fear of abandonment as well. Right. Because if you feel like someone has kind of pushed you away a little bit, then you can kind of get really scared and almost want to run away from them or kind of like glom onto them, like attached to them really hard. The smallest inconvenience with BPD also can feel like your grandparent has passed away. But there's also a really funny flip side to it that when a really big thing happens, because we don't know how to process our emotions, we can go completely numb. And not feel anything. So sometimes we're extremely empathetic and sometimes we can be very apathetic. It's very hard to control as well. And sometimes it just flips and you can't even control it.
And you did talk about once that you have that devil on your shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder. Tell us what you mean by that and, you know, the impulsive BPD. And
so basically the BPD brain is always spewing negative things at you constantly. It's like a big paranoid person inside your brain that's always like people are looking at you and judging you when you're out in public. It brings out a lot of anxiety in people. It can make you feel very guilty after an interaction with someone in thinking like, did I say something correctly? Did I behave correctly? Did they take my tone correctly? Because so many times throughout a BPD person's life, they've been taken the wrong way or they've been told that what they're feeling is wrong. And then that's what's led them to not be able to process emotions or understand how to feel in a certain situation as well. It can be very confusing for people.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like myself, I feel that sometimes when I'm out in public, people are watching me and they're watching what I'm doing, or especially with like disordered eating. I often feel that when I'm out at a restaurant that someone's watching me eat and they're like, she's eating french fries. She ate all the french fries. Like,
yeah, you know, absolutely. Just that. No, definitely. And I feel like there's a lot of parts of BPD that do resonate with people in many different ways. And BPD has a lot of overlapping symptoms with eating disorders, other mental illnesses, things like that as well. It can bring out anxiety and depression within people because it is such a heavy thing to go through all the time, where your brain is telling you that you're a terrible person and you have to constantly tell yourself, no, I'm not a terrible person.
Right.
People do like me.
It's that angel and the devil that you talk about.
Exactly, exactly. And then the devil is kind of like, you know, if you just continue these cycles, you know what the outcome will be, even though it will suck, you know what's going to happen. Whereas the angel is like, no, you should probably, you know, try to be the person that you want to be and behave the way that you want to be. With BPD, you're just kind of like, how do I behave? Because that's always going like back and forth.
So have you ever been like out with friends, whatever, whoever the friend is, or new people, and like how you said, kind of you mirror their personality. Have you ever caught yourself doing that or been like, wow, I'm trying to make this person like me?
It's something that I've noticed more post interactions with people.
Okay.
Especially, I just kind of learned about it more recently, I'd say in the last like 4 months or so. It's really interesting because when I was in my past toxic relationship, I was behaving in ways that I had never behaved towards someone. And then I kind of realized that I was like reflecting what I was being given back to that person. And I also kind of realized that like the people that I'm close to, I tend to take on what they like to do. Like the person I'm currently seeing, I picked up a guitar mainly mainly for him to keep it at my house and play it. But I actually bought a little app yesterday and learned how to play some chords. So I kind of like can take on some things like that. Right. And I've learned so many things and I've experienced so many things and that's been really cool. But I have never found exactly who I am.
Right.
Which is really interesting to think about, because even day to day, I can have a completely different style of clothing kind of thing.
Really?
Like one day I'll dress like a little Barbie and then the next day I want to dress like all black. One day I want to be like really country and like all the plaid kind of thing. And then the next day I want to look like I'm going to a 5-star event kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So it's, and there's no like continuity with it.
Right.
Yeah. It's all, it's fun though.
Got to see the positive.
Definitely. I mean, we don't always take on positive traits from people either.
Right.
When you're,
like you said, with the relationship.
Yeah. When you're around people that are not healthy individuals and don't know how to self-regulate right. themselves as well, mm-hmm. it can be very confusing and toxic for sure.
Yeah. On that note, like I feel like this year I've just been, not just this year, most of the time. Uh-oh, coffee spill.
Yeah, we're good.
Are you good? I definitely focus on like, okay, I'm not going to hang out with the people that make me feel negative. Yeah, I just try to hang out with people that inspire me and uplift me. And
totally. Yeah. I've been the exact same way. And yeah. even down to people that support my ex and know the abuse that I went through and the emotional neglect that I yeah. endured with him, I don't support those people either. I have completely
yeah.
taken them out of my life. I've yeah. completely moved away from that kind of thing. You yeah. know, I respect people and I'll be kind no matter what. But
yeah. I also noticed you started talking about PTSD with your adult life recently. And you talk a bit about your parents and childhood trauma. And one of your TikToks, it says, is that what you call TikToks? Is it TikToks or is it posts? Or
yeah, I think they're called TikToks. Yeah. Like, sometimes I call them videos. Sometimes, I don't know, content.
Okay. I know. So in one of your videos, you say, parents be like, why are you in therapy?
So that one, I just really liked the audio. I thought it was really yeah. funny. Definitely a bit more of a joke post for yeah. me, because my parents have thankfully been, for the most part, very, very accepting and willing to learn and grow with
oh,
me.
God, yeah.
At first, they definitely were very confused as to why I was talking so much about what I went through in childhood and what they might have done to contribute to right. my adult mental health. Over time, they've become kind of accepting towards it and accepting of themselves, because
yeah.
we all understand that parents are acting and parenting their children in the best way that they know
exactly.
how at that time. And,
right.
you know, they're handling their mental health in the best way
right.
that they know how at that time. So I've been very, very lucky in that regard
yeah.
because they want to keep a good relationship with me and
of
vice
course.
Versa. So we've been able to work together to set appropriate boundaries. And
yeah.
It's been very positive. My mom follows me on TikTok. So she sees all of those TikToks
wow.
and we talk about them, and it's very healing for all of us.
I know. I feel like it's kind of a tough boundary when you want to talk about stuff that you don't want to offend or make your parents feel bad.
Yes.
But like real things happen to you in your life and that's just what happened. And if you want to talk about it, you should be able to.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
But of course, yeah, I would never want to make my family feel bad about anything. Yeah, I actually have a podcast scheduled with my mom. I haven't sent her the interview yet, but she's like, okay, well, just send me the interview and then I'll decide. Okay, so let's jump over to the good old toxic relationship. I have been there. We've chatted about that. I've always felt like the hardest part of a toxic relationship is just getting out of it. It seems so simple to most people. You just leave, but it's not. And depending on the situation, you could be scared, have nowhere to go, no money. With my situation, I just felt like even though he was so, so horrible and toxic, I still loved him. This is my ex I'm talking about. And it was crazy. You've opened up talking about this, how he called the cops when you would express feeling low and suicidal, and how you said narcissists always get upset when you start to share your story. Sounds like you've been through the ringer with this guy, which I kind of know. I'm going to let you lead this one a bit, but for other women out there, how would you describe a toxic relationship? What are some of the signs? And maybe how did you get out? Because it's hard.
Yeah, it's definitely very difficult. And I guess I want to start off with just saying that I am really grateful for the lessons that I learned through
yeah.
that experience, although I would never want to experience that again.
Yes.
Same. I found myself totally confused at times, wondering why I was unable to continue to be the better person and take the high road
mm-hmm.
and be loving and compassionate.
Right.
And it wasn't until way after the relationship that I learned that because my cup was completely empty all the time, because I was only giving in that relationship, not receiving anything, because I was constantly begging for acceptance and love the entire time, it brought out the suicidal ideation side of BPD in me, unfortunately.
Right.
I definitely felt like I was very stuck, both financially and emotionally. It was a lot. I felt like if I could show him how to love me, that he would get it. But
yeah,
later on, I realized that he knew what he was doing the entire time.
Really?
Yeah, they always do.
It's kind of like that, the love languages. You know, you kind of try to express to them, this is how I take love.
Yeah.
My love language is like words. I'm a songwriter, so it's kind of obvious. And like Garrett's love language is kind of acts of service.
Yeah, totally.
And so we're always working on that, trying to be like, hey, I'm like, why don't you write me a love letter? And I'll go clean your truck.
Absolutely. And that's exactly how a healthy relationship works, because right. you try and put yourself in the other person's shoes yeah. and you try to see things from their perspective, because everybody has a different perspective person to person. My mental health throughout this relationship became so low that I wasn't even really able to work as much as I had previously. So my finances took a huge hit, and I felt like I wasn't able to get out because I live 900 kilometers from any family, and
oh, wow.
I owned half of the house with this person, so I right. didn't have anywhere to go. And they have a ton of family in the area, so I felt very stuck. And
isolated.
I couldn't, yeah, isolated. Mm-hmm. I couldn't really go anywhere or go to anyone and seek any sort of like refuge at the time.
Right.
I was also so exhausted and low all the time, which really affected the way that I was able to work, because right. being a massage therapist, you take on a lot of yeah. energy from people
yeah.
as well as sometimes their physical ailments, funny right. enough, especially when you're an empathetic person. But when your cup is completely empty, yeah. you have a really hard time to continue to take on things from people. So I wasn't able to be there for my clients, and I found myself canceling days of work Aww. And then, you know, not making money because of it. And because of all of that feeling and feeling like I was not contributing enough, not being able to save up money, that took a hit on my mental health and continued to bring out that suicidal ideation. And looking back on pictures of myself, it's crazy to see the like sunken eyes
oh, really?
And dark eyes of like crying almost daily.
Oh,
it was
God.
Like looking back, it's so interesting to think why I wanted to beg someone to stay in my life that
I know
made me think of myself so horribly.
God, right? I literally remember being on my hands and knees like begging this person.
Same here.
Please don't leave me.
Yeah.
Like,
same
please
here.
Please don't leave. And same with you. I'm crying every day, upset all the time, crazy, acting crazy.
And believing
crazy.
Them that, you know, if you treat them better, they'll treat you better.
Yeah.
Right. But yep. that's not how a relationship is supposed right. to work. Right. And so when I was really low and suicidal at the point of wanting to end things, aww. Rather than telling me that I was loved and safe and trying to be kind and not continue the argument or situation that was at hand, my ex would just threaten to call the police or actually call the police so that I could be taken out of his hair.
Oh, gosh.
He would cry at the police and act like he was a caring boyfriend. And then when I'd come home from the hospital, he would continue to spew hurtful things at me. He would break up with me every time as well and then come aww. Back the next day usually and continue to call me names and further drive home the fact that I was the problem yeah. and that it was me manipulating him with wanting to end my life to mm-hmm. keep him around. With people who have BPD, 1 in 10 people die by their own hand with borderline personality wow. disorder. So the reason that happens is because we feel things so intensely. It's like a volcano that needs to erupt but has nowhere to come out.
Right.
So it feels like your body is going to explode, and the only way to not feel that mm-hmm. in those moments feels like just ending it. It's completely irrational, and that's yeah. that's unfortunately how the BPD brain works,
yeah.
which can make it very intense for a partner. I don't disagree with that, but
so funny you talking about BPD, and I'm like, did I have it? Do I have no?
I feel like it's a lot more common than people think,
right.
and there's 256 different combinations of symptoms, right. and you only need 5 out of 9 to be diagnosed.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not trying to diagnose you or anything
no,
like that, but
those are just facts.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of people that had parents who didn't have very good emotional regulation,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of us might not have learned that.
Because I think like you know, you talking back to like the, you know, the suicidal thoughts and stuff like that. I remember those feelings, feeling like maybe this will, you know, maybe this will make him really love me. Maybe he'll see how much I need him. You know, that's kind of how I felt in those moments.
Definitely. I definitely resonate with that as well. Yeah. It's really intense to think about after the fact, because when you're in those moments, it's so hard to think
clearly.
Yeah. Especially when you do not have support or sufficient support in your life or in that situation.
It's like you just want that person to come to you and just wrap their arms around you and be like, it's okay.
Totally.
I love you. It's okay.
I remember asking him to do that exact thing.
Yeah.
And I remember him telling me that he didn't believe that was right. I remember going to therapy and coming back saying, I was talking to my therapist about this and she agrees with me that I'm asking for just basic human treatment when, you know, I ask you to look at me instead of staring at your phone when I'm trying to talk to you. Yep. Responding to me instead of me having to ask you if you're listening to me multiple times and then repeating myself. And then he would come back and tell me that my therapist was stupid and didn't know what she was talking about.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure she's a educated and trained professional.
Yeah. I think those people need therapy.
Definitely. But they are also the ones that will go to therapy and completely pull the wool over the therapist's eyes, because we did go to a couples therapy sessions, and in those sessions we would talk about how I needed to be understood and how he felt in certain situations, and he would be like, I totally understand this, that, the other thing.
So he wasn't real.
And I believe that he did understand, but he didn't want to do things. Right. That's how pathological people tend to work. They know exactly what they're doing and they know exactly how to bring down the person that they need to bring down.
And so how would you say someone with BPD is attracted to someone who's a narcissist?
So because we have this lack of identity and fear of abandonment and we haven't really been given unconditional or accepted love, we seek that kind of love out in partners subconsciously.
Yeah.
And narcissistic or pathological individuals provide that exact love. They love bomb and future fake in the beginning by being the person that we have always dreamed about having in our lives, while slowly and covertly adding small bits of emotional neglect, emotional abuse, and it builds up over time until the person that we fell in love with no longer exists.
Aww,
and then we're constantly begging for that person to come back because we saw who they could be, and we believe that if we love them hard enough, they can get back to that place.
Or you believe if you can just change, or if you yourself can do better.
Yes, you believe that you are the problem now, and BPD people will take that on and they will continue to try and love and nurture that person and show them that they aren't a bad person and that they do deserve the love that they're trying to give the pathological individual. This unfortunately ends up a lot of people with BPD in the cycle of reactive abuse because with that lack of emotional skin, we can be very reactive individuals. So with pathological people, when they find that out, they know how to push buttons so that the person with BPD ends up being the one yelling and screaming and acting all crazy so that the pathological individual can have the proof to further drive home the fact that their partner is crazy.
Yeah.
And sometimes these people will be super nice in public and then different behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. Or they'll poke their partner in public so that the partner has reactions that people witness so that they can further drive home the fact that their partner is crazy and they're not the problem.
Oh, wow.
It's very deep and very calculated how these people interact with other people and how they choose their partners. They always choose someone that doesn't know anything about them, is far away from their age or far away from the type of person that they would typically hang out with because the people that know who they are don't want anything to do with them.
But now, I mean, now you're in a healthy relationship.
Yes, it has been a breath of fresh air.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah. We both have a lot of experience with toxic partners. And when we kind of got together, we started out very not serious. I was really not wanting a relationship in my life. Yeah. I was seeing more than one person, all open, honest, and consensual. Yeah. But this person was part of that. And we kind of started to hang out more often and really bond over kind of healing and the healing work that we had individually done to get to where we've been from the toxic relationship. And we both kind of found that we treat each other the way that the other person has wanted to be treated. And one thing that's definitely keeping me in the relationship, I learned this off TikTok, and I think it's really important for people to hear this about relationships. This man and his wife were in couples therapy, and the therapist asked both of them, do you think that you could upset your partner in a minute or less? And both of them replied, what makes you think I need a minute? Or something along those lines, right? Because yes, most of the time we know how to push our partner's buttons. And then the therapist asked them, if your partner was feeling sad, depressed, or low, would you be able to get them to a place of feeling safe and loved and nurtured in that same amount of time?
Right.
And if you can't, why are you together?
Right.
Fundamentally changed the way that I looked at relationships, because every relationship will have highs and lows, and you have to communicate about things, and things don't change overnight and have to be worked on.
Yeah, for sure.
But how they're communicated about is a very telling thing. If someone is receptive and gentle in their communication, that's telling that they're more willing to do the work. And if someone is
aggressive
or taking it kind of as an attack and reactionary with their communication about it, that's usually telling that they're just telling you they want to do the work to get you to stop talking about it. But being in a healthy relationship now, it has been so light and so easy to experience myself, and I'm able to talk about what I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing. And
So did you tell him, like, when you first started kind of dating or see each other, were you like, I have BPD, this is what it is, just so you were aware?
Totally,
is what you're in for.
I'm a pretty open book in general, so I kind of tell people like right away. Also, a part of BPD is you tend to overshare, so you kind of just like word vomit your whole life story to people. So a lot of random people just know a lot of things.
Which is totally fine.
But I definitely have to pull myself back sometimes, or I'm like, ooh, that person probably did not need to hear that today. But I definitely tell people pretty well the first time that I meet them that I have BPD. Also, so that they can understand that if I have some sort of, you know, emotional reaction that seems irrational, hopefully they'll kind of equate that, oh, right, she's got a mental illness that she's dealing with. And, you know, the day to day where I seem like a normal individual is the mask that I'm able to put on and able to withhold, because what's going on behind that mask is so different. And then when, you know, the emotional times do happen, that's when that kind of falls off. That's what happens with mental illness, right?
And did he, what does he think about your TikTok? Does he watch all your videos, or did he like from the start?
He doesn't have TikTok, but I show him all my videos and he's very receptive to watching them. He laughs at them. He's been in a few of them, and he's had a few made about him, which he thinks are funny. And he's a very secure individual, which I'm very grateful for. So he doesn't really hold me back from anything. So I'm able to really be myself, which is nice.
Well,
I love it.
I'm so glad you're in a good, loving place.
Me too.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Like you said, it's so enlightening when you go from a really, really bad relationship into a relationship that is full of love and care and security and safe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So everyone should go follow you on TikTok because you are so funny on there. And also, I love how you're so deep in sharing and educational.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing. So where, how do people follow you on there?
My TikTok is Kay Schwabs, K-S-C-H-W-A-B-S. Same with my Instagram, easiest places to find me. I keep the same name pretty much everywhere. I don't have a lot of variety. I try to post a lot of content, a lot of variety of content. And I definitely like to be open about the mental health because it's been so healing. So I enjoy the community that has been created there.
And you have a lot of people reach out to you all the time of that stuff.
Definitely. And I've even had like friends locally reach out to me over TikTok things. And it's been really cool to connect with people and kind of be a place that they are able to open up for maybe the first time, which is really nice.
Well, thank you so much for coming over today and doing the podcast with me.
Thank you for having me. It was super fun. And I know I can be very long-winded at times.
No,
so
amazing.
I really appreciate it. And I hope that there has been some really good educational and information that people maybe resonate with.
Yeah. And don't think anything less than it was just wonderful and amazing.
Always. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. If you have a moment to leave a review on whichever platform you're listening from, that would be awesome. And I would love to hear from you over on Instagram at Lisa Nicole Music. I'll see you next week.